Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We actually have been going into some detail, looking at some of the ways that people are being driven towards globalism, towards a one-world government. Climate change and global warming has been a big part of what's driving us in that direction. I've commented on that quite a bit, quoted from many articles, and given quite a bit of thought to this. Now, it's not, of course, the only thing driving that train to oblivion, so to speak, towards a one-world government. We know God has told us, of course, in His Word, that one day there will be a temporary one-world government, and the false Messiah, the Antichrist, will rule and reign for a short period of time, and that will be one of the things, a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world economy within that one-world government. But it's not the only thing, this idea of climate change and global warming, and that's what I want to look at tonight. Some other articles that are pertinent to what's taking place here. We looked last week at, I think, appropriate title, A Climate Alarmism is the Left's Apocalypticism in, you know, in the World. But now we want to look at a few articles tonight in, you know, concerning this whole topic of a one-world government. So, without further ado, I want to mention one article, which is pretty speculative. Therefore, I'm not going to refer a lot to it. There's a couple things I wanted to quote from there, though. If you want to check the article out for yourself, it's called Global Government. I mean, the title is quite a grabber. Global Government and Mass Surveillance Needed to Save Humanity, Expert Says. Wow. George Orwell, 1984, Eat Your Heart Out. Anyway, this article is by Taylor Durden. Excuse me. It's from a Zero Hedge website, and I give you the title. You can always check it out for yourself. It's a little bit speculative for me. It's a little bit out there in some ways, but there are some things, as I say, I'd like to make note of. And towards the end of the article, here's a comment. Being monitored by artificial intelligence is a horrifying idea. Well, yeah, and that, of course, is what this article is talking about. The idea of artificial intelligence, or AI, monitoring human activity is particularly alarming, considering that we already know AI can develop prejudice and hate without our input, and that robots have no sense of humor. I've met a few folks like that. Anyway, and might kill us over a joke. Many experts believe that AI will eventually outsmart humans, and the ultimate outcome will be the end of humanity. Is having robot overlords a good idea? We already have mass surveillance, and global governance seems to be on the way as well. That term is used a lot related to climate change and the need for global governance. That's another term for world government, one world government. But a person who responded and gave a comment in the comment sections, I want to read his comments. His name's Brandon Smith. Said he has some fascinating follow-up comments. I could write an entire article on the many reasons why this expert's ideas are horribly flawed, and maybe I will. One thing that stands out, though, is the globalist and Luciferian obsession with the idea of the simulated universe. They are extremely motivated to convince people that what they know intuitively, that what they intuitively know about life and existence is wrong. Sounds like The Matrix, the movie series in a little bit. And that everything we do is meaningless. This is a perversion of the classic Gnostic idea of pulling away the veil. Again, The Matrix, take the red pill or the blue pill or whatever. If everything we know and accomplish is actually a matter of perception or simulation, then everything becomes relative, including morality. Globalists also love to push the notion of a cataclysmic AI event, artificial intelligence event, an event they are actively seeking to create, and then suggest that global government is the only solution to stop it from happening. The author that or not the author of the article, but the expert, this Oxford philosopher, his last name is Bostrom, if you read the article, he didn't come up with this concept. The UN and the IMF and other globalist institutions have been peddling it for the past few years. My question for Bostrom is this. If the world is nothing more than a simulation, then why does it matter if we eventually select a blackball idea and end it? And if it doesn't matter, then why would we need global government to save us from it? Elitist propaganda is so backward that they do not seem to notice the inherent and obvious contradiction. You know, from what I gather what he's saying, you know, if we're living in an illusion, if this is, you know, that life and existence is meaningless and everything we do is meaningless and perhaps even illusory, then what difference does it make, okay? But it does make a difference to those who would want to control, and we know the ultimate one, of course, will be Antichrist, who will need human beings to aid him in this whole event that's coming. Anyway, interesting article, speculative, but might be worth a read. Now, here's one, it's an older article. Again, this is not so much the climate change, but it's, again, dealing with the idea of the one world government and globalism. This is by William Jasper, and it's the New American site. They also had a magazine. I'm not sure if they still have a paper magazine or not, but this is an online article, and it's from 2016. It says, hacked docs, in other words, hacked documents, expose Soros, Obama, UN refugee invasion network. So this is an older article, but it's very relevant, isn't it, with the refugee invasion situation. Of course, this is talking, I believe, here mostly about Europe. But anyway, secret internal reports and memos by one of George Soros' left-wing front groups reveals the socialist billionaire's subversive reach within the Obama administration, the United Nations, and the governing structures, European Union, especially as it relates to the manufactured refugee migration crisis. The assertion that the migrant refugee tsunami that has already swamped Europe with 1 to 2 million Muslim migrants, again, this is 2016, should be accepted as the new normal. This is not surprising, but it is alarming. It's not surprising because for many years, Soros and his minions have been in the vanguard of the open borders migration lobby. It is alarming because the radical migration rights agenda of the Soros network is being translated into official policy nationally and globally. Now, later in the article, it says, quite clearly, when it comes to migrant refugee policy, Soros and his fellow globalists are the real policymakers. Soros staffers Anna Crowley and Kate Rosen call for accepting the current crisis as the new normal and moving beyond the need to react. Their report also provides revealing details on the Soros/IMI/OSF relationship to Goldman Sachs titan Peter Sutherland, the UN's top globalist agent in charge of designing and implementing the UN's chaos-producing migration programs. Further in the article, it says, the Sutherland Report, which aims to set the stage for institutional reforms to global migration governance and to break new ground on protections for migrants outside the asylum system. And then on a few paragraphs down, first, a few important notes about the above-mentioned Peter Sutherland. While not a household name, he is very well known in the corridors of power, and he is having an impact on almost every household on the planet. As we reported here last October, insider Peter Sutherland, EU-US must take more refugees, get rid of sovereignty. That apparently is the article in October of 2016 that was in the New American. Peter Sutherland is an insider's insider. He epitomizes the uber-rich globalist corporatist elite. Here's a partial listing of his international credentials, and I'm going to give a partial listing. I'll pick over a few of these. Until this past June, Sutherland was chairman of Goldman Sachs International, the global banking behemoth known to critics as the vampire squid for its predatory corrupt practices. He's a regular attendee and former steering committee member of the ultra-secretive, ultra-elite Bilderberg Group. He was European chairman of the Trilateral Commission. And then down the list here, I skipped a few. As a principal architect of the WTO, he has been hailed as the father of globalization. That's the World Trade Organization. I believe that's WTO. As a top Eurocrat, he played a lead role in destroying national sovereignty by replacing national currencies and national monetary control with the euro, as well as engineering the borderless Europe, which the current migrant crisis is now proving to have been so destructive. In addition, Sutherland and Soros sit on the advisory board of the Global Policy Institute, GPI, a leading think tank promoting world government under the guise of global governance. There's that term again, global governance. Okay. All right, interesting article. Now the next article, you might say this could be filed under one world religion, but it's actually, I'm going to file it under one world government, even though the Pope is involved with this. And this article is entitled, Pope Rejects Excessive Demands for Sovereignty and Pushes Idea of Global Authority. Now, I know many of you, this is not new to you. You've heard these type of things before, but perhaps you had not seen this article from actually May of this year, May 6th. It's by Benjamin Gill and Steve Warren at CBN.com. Pope Francis is pushing for steps towards global authority that supersedes the rights of individual countries, all with the goal of pursuing the common good on issues like climate change and immigration. Now, wait a minute. I thought he was the Pope. I thought he was this, like, the chief head potentate of religiosity or something. What's he doing out here in the world of global authority and all that stuff? I smell a rat. excuse my sense of humor. You have to laugh to keep from crying, of course. But thank God God's in control. Anyway, the article goes on. When a supranational common good is clearly identified, it is necessary to have a special authority legally and concordantly constituted capable of facilitating its implementation. We think of the great contemporary challenges of climate change, new forms of slavery and peace. Now, I hadn't planned on speaking any more about climate change, but that happened to pop up in this article. As you can see, there's more to it than just the climate change. They met last week. Or actually, it says he told members of the Pontifical Academy. They met last week at the Vatican to discuss the topic of nation-state. While addressing the conference, Francis rebuked the trend of nationalism among individual countries and the many tensions that come from excessive demand for sovereignty on the part of states. And so I believe he's going to go right out and tear down that Vatican wall that he has up there. No, I'm sorry. That wasn't in the article. That was my own little ad lib there. Anyway, the article goes on. However, the Pope defended patriotism as a good thing. Really? But he warned it can become perverted when it involves the exclusion and hatred of others, when it becomes a conflictual nationalism that builds walls. Oh, well, I jumped the gun. Once again, my note said the guy who lives behind walls. Anyway, this was, I think this was from Breitbart.com. But anyway, this quote here. But anyway, it goes on. When it becomes a conflictual nationalism that builds walls, indeed, even racism or anti-Semitism, according to Francis, also implied national security becomes twisted when countries do not have a welcoming attitude toward migrants. And of course, I just read the previous article about Soros and Obama and the others, Sutherland, etc., et al., dealing with this forced migration issue in the name of humanity and all that. And give me your poor and your huddled masses and whether they're legal or not, etc. But anyway, you know, you see behind all of the fake social justice warriors and the social gospel what's really going on and what's at stake. And yet God's not surprised by any of this, is he? The article says the church, meaning the Catholic Church, observes with concern the reemergence in many parts of the world of currents that are aggressive towards foreigners. And I put a little note, rule of law. And basically that the Pope is an antichrist. Well, yeah, that goes without saying, I suppose. But He's an anarchist as well, of course, against the law, the rule of law. Anyway, to complete the quote, the church observes with concern the reemergence in many parts of the world of currents that are aggressive towards foreigners, especially immigrants. You notice he says especially immigrants. He doesn't say especially illegal immigrants. Not that I think we should be aggressive or harmful towards people. I do believe that we need people to obey the law, and we need to have those that are in positions of power and national sovereignty to, as the scripture says and tells us in Romans 12 or 13, I believe it's 12, that God has set up these nations and given police and military the power to the rule of law. This is what God's will is, not globalism, not anarchy, but which is, of course, the Antichrist's, that's his cup of tea. Anyway, I'm going to read that quote again since I keep butting in on myself. The church observes with concern the reemergence in any parts of the world of currents that are aggressive towards foreigners, especially immigrants, as well as a growing nationalism that neglects the common good, he told the conference. Well, actually, nationalism is for the common good of the legal people in the nation. And so, you know, what double talk, what double speak this man gives. And aggressive towards foreigners, well, I don't think anybody, again, getting back to the idea of, hey, praise God for all the legal immigrants that come into this country. I have many friends that have come legally into this country. And to be honest, they're not real happy about those that come in illegally, since they had to do it by the law and had to go through a great deal of sacrifice a lot. They had to wait in line. In other words, they didn't cut in line. But anyway, I digress. This in turn threatens to jeopardize consolidated forms of international cooperation. In other words, globalism. Undermines the aims of international organizations as a space for dialogue and meeting for all countries in a spirit of mutual respect, and hinders the attainment, and I underline this, of the Sustainable Development Goals approved unanimously by the United Nations, the Pope said. Sustainable Development Goals. Right. The Pope also said individual countries can no longer look out for their own people by themselves due to globalization. And I really only have one word for that, and that is liar. The next statement, the nation state is no longer able to procure the common good of its populaces alone. That's right. God was wrong when he set forth the idea of nation states, and where he tore down the Tower of Babel, and where he will eventually destroy Babylon, when the one world government of Antichrist is temporarily put in place. So I guess God made a mistake, and the Pope's trying to correct all this mess for us. The nation state is no longer able to procure the common good of its populations alone. The common good has become global, and nations must associate for their own benefit. Yeah, or face the consequences. No, I'm just putting that in there. Francis, I don't believe, was honest enough to add that statement, so I did it for him. And once again, I would say that God would say he's a liar. Again, referring back to Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, and Revelation 17, talking about the Babel, the one world government that the Antichrist will temporarily rule over. The Pope also pushed the idea of supranational entities to the conference. A supranational union is defined as a type of multinational political union where negotiated power is delegated to an authority by governments of member states. The term is sometimes used to describe the European Union. Okay, so you see what's pretty clear here, really. I mean, useful idiots, may not see it real clearly, and I don't mean that just for the fun of being pejorative or insultive. Are insulting, but it's a good term because there are those who, either through lack of discernment or common sense, are because they're liberals or because they are Romans 1 victims, that they have, they've been turned over to God to reprobate minds. I don't know. Take your pick. But the communists made good use of what they termed as useful idiots. People who thought this was a good idea, we're doing a good thing, we're being noble and nice and gracious and good, and actually they were being used for an evil cause. And that was Marxism, and we have the history on all of that now, of course. So, moving on to a Pope Francis Associated article, which is a little bit older than the one that I was just reading. And I'm double-checking that article real quick. That was, yes, that was May of this year. This article is a little older, 2015, and it shouldn't surprise anybody. But most of my listeners are aware of this type of thing. But I wanted to, this just seems to fit nicely right here. Again, this is from Christian News in 2015, September 27th. Rick Warren, T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen express excitement over the Pope Francis visit. And I put, in parentheses, the usual suspects. Rick Warren, T.D. Jakes, and Joel Osteen. And I really, this probably fits better under the topic of one world religion, which is where we're going to be heading next week. And I might get my foot in the door this week as we look at, again, at the current events associated with one world government, one world religion, and one world in deception. So this article by Heather Clark reads, as the Roman Catholic head Jorge Bergoglio, who is known as Pope Francis, did you know that was his name, folks? Jorge Bergoglio. Okay, just call him George. Anyway, traveled to the United States this past week for a six-day visit. Megachurch leaders Rick Warren, T.D. Jakes, and Joel Osteen expressed their excitement and support for the papal pomp and circumstance. On Wednesday, T.D. Jakes of the Potter's House posted a photo on social media of himself and his wife at the White House, outlining that he had been invited by Barack Obama to be among the VIPs welcoming Francis to the nation's capital. A special thanks to President Obama for his VIP invitation to attend such a historic event, he wrote. As the world watches this international figure move through our country, let's pray that the Pope's journey is safe. All right. Now, EEW Magazine, later in this article that I'm reading from, same article, but they reference EEW Magazine. I'm not sure, but I believe that's the same. That magazine is probably associated with the Roman Catholic cable network and the programming that's under that network. I'm not sure of that, but I'm pretty sure it is. It notes that Jake's comments are not his first expressing ecumenism with the Roman Catholic religion. There are many outreaches that we have common ground about, he told News One in 2013. I think one of the great mistakes is how we rationalize things in this country currently is that we have a tendency to perpetuate the ideology that we should focus on our differences rather than to focus on our commonalities. Talk about doublespeak. And of course, why wouldn't he say that? Because he himself, there are questions about his view of the Trinity. Pretty sure he's not Trinitarian and word faith, and then some of his views now on homosexuality, not so much even being a sin. I don't want to misquote him, so I'm not going to be dogmatic about that. But just from the top of my head off my memory, it seems to me, as I recall, that he's compromising now with the whole issue. You know, we're all sinners, but homosexuality need to be told, just like every other sinner, that they're a sinner and they need to repent and turn to Christ. Anyway, he says, I'm repeating myself. When I think of the Roman Catholic Church and their belief in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the fact that they serve the poor, there's the social gospel, folks, the fact that they're interested in education, there are many things that we can gather around and agree upon, Jakes added. And then I would add, except for salvation by works. So, you know, yeah, they believe in some of those things that he mentioned, but they also believe that you're not saved outside of the Catholic Church, and they would also persuade you that if you don't make it, when you die, you can still get there through purgatory, which is a man-made, made-up, unbiblical doctrine. On Wednesday, the Texas-based author and speaker also uploaded a photo of himself with Saddleback church leader and purpose-driven life author Rick Warren as they waited together at the White House for the pontiff's arrival. As previously reported, Warren spoke at the Vatican last November, again, this was 2015, during an interfaith conference on the complementarity of man and woman. During his visit, he was recorded by the Catholic News Service as he urged Christians and Catholics to work together. And again, as I say, I think the EEW, I believe that's part of the Catholic Network. I'm not sure what it's called. I can't remember. Might be wrong. But he has gone on record as saying that that is his favorite television network, the Catholic television network. Not a surprise, right? People say, what are the saints all about? Why are you praying to the saints? And when you understand what they mean by what they're saying, there's a whole lot more commonality that we have with Roman Catholics. And once again, I would say that's an example of doublespeak. You know, I pray that all Catholics will be saved, and I trust that there may be some that are saved, but they're not saved by the Roman Catholic gospel, because that's not a gospel. That's not good news. They are saved in spite of the Catholic Church if they're in the Catholic Church and are truly saved. And I trust that they're there to try to get others in the Catholic Church saved. Anyway, I don't want to run out of time, so I better hurry up. We're almost done. There's still real differences, no doubt about that, he stated. But the most important thing is, if you love Jesus, we're on the same team. Well, I went to the Toronto Vineyard Airport Church, where they had the Toronto Blessing, which was that heretical movement some years ago. And I remember one of the pastors getting up and saying, you know, for in the interest of time, I'm going to make it quick. He got up and says, I don't care if you're this, I don't care if you're that, I don't care if you're a Mormon. If you love Jesus, you are welcome. Well, a Mormon doesn't love Jesus. He doesn't love the biblical Jesus. He loves a false Jesus. So anyway, so much for if you love Jesus, we're on the same team. No, we're not. Not if we have the wrong Jesus, we're on the wrong team. Or somebody's on the wrong team. Anyway, Joel Osteen, leader of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, likewise expressed support for the Roman Catholic Pontiff this past week in speaking with reporters. I like the Pope. I like that he's making the Catholic Church more open to bring people in and not exclude them, Osteen told the Christian Post. He's a man of the people. I like what he stands for. Humility, reaching out to others, and he's not so formal that people can't relate to him. Now, this is from the guy who says that Mormonism is the same as biblical Christianity. So you can take that and put that in your pipe and smoke it. And I don't recommend smoking, of course. But this is Joel Osteen. Now, I've got to hurry. But some have expressed concern over the affirmation that evangelicals are giving to the Roman Catholic religion. Jordan Standridge, who is at Emmanuel Bible Church in Virginia, released an article, Why Evangelicals and Catholics Cannot Be Together. He pointed to problems stemming from the 1995 Evangelicals and Catholics Together document. Well-known evangelical pastors joined themselves with Catholic priests and philosophers in an ecumenical fashion in order to promote the agreements over the disagreements that have plagued Protestants and Catholics for centuries. Now, he said, the vast majority of Christians in America do not evangelize Catholics. Someone like me, who has shed many tears over the deception of the Catholic Church, is seen as hateful. I totally understand the desire to believe people are saved. I also desperately want Catholics to go to heaven, but we can't let our desire for people to be saved or our desire to please men lead us to cheer them on as they run towards hell. We must love them. I'm out of time. God bless you all. I hope you'll be back next week. Good night.